Hi, I'm Kimbu, the host of the Author Alchemist podcast. I bring my years of experience as a fan fiction writer, a professionally published author, and a productivity coach to the problem we all love to hate, the act of writing. I also talk a lot about self-publishing, marketing, and my own challenges and journey as an author. Maybe you can relate. Hey y'all, it's Kimbu, and this is another Author Alchemist update. And actually, this is going to be an update all about House of York and what I'm working on and what's coming up ahead for me. Going to do a few detours onto topics that are near and dear to my heart, such as discovery writing. The book that I'm working on is about pantsing. Or being a pantser, I should say. And I am also got a few other things in the hopper that I'm pretty excited about. But I definitely have a very annoyed dog behind me. I was at a writer's retreat for about 5.5 days. It was wonderful. I was over on the Gulf Coast, Florida, and I will probably be talking about that more. But Keely was not impressed with me being gone for 5 days. So now she's kind of feeling her oats a little bit and barking and things and generally begging for attention and letting me know that that was not an acceptable behavior on my part. So if you hear a dog barking in the background, that's what's going on. So I'm trying to gather my thoughts together, y'all. It's been a hectic 3 weeks. I had a lot to do going into the retreat and wanted to make sure while I was gone that my Kimbu Scriptorium, which is my newsletter blog on Substack, was being updated along with the story that I've got ongoing, The Queen's Eyrie, which is a romance, polyamorous romance novel, male, male, female, and dragon shifters and all kinds of fun stuff. It's a fun romp of a story. It was pretty much my pandemic lockdown project for the most part. I'd started it before that, before the pandemic hit, but editing it and rewriting it and putting it together and getting it out there in the world, yeah, that's kind of what took all my attention. Probably, but you know what? I'm not going to say what I should have done because time is behind us, the future is in front of us, and so that's what we're going to talk about today. Transmigrated Terry, I know some of you have been waiting for more updates on that one, and I do plan on starting that. I intended to start it this month, November. Didn't quite hit that mark. I wanted to be able to go back and reread earlier chapters or installments and scenes before I put them up on Ream, which is where initial episodes or installments will be going. I think through December and January, they will be pretty much locked to Ream and for paid subscribers. After January, I will start posting installments on, I think chapters, installments, I confuse myself. I will be posting installments on the usual freebie sites, including AO3 and Wattpad and Inkit and Royal World. That's just a lot of sites, y'all. There's so many. But it's what we have to do today. Whether you're a writer or reader, discoverability is an issue. For writers, it's an issue because it's our job and we're trying to get the word out there so that other people can find our work, readers can find our work and hopefully pay us money. The readers, its discoverability has become more difficult because there's just so much out there and there's so many places to find it. There's now Patreon and Wattpad and Ream, and along with Amazon and Kindle and Vella and Radish and Kobo and Kobo Plus and all just, man, there's so many ways to find stuff to read. Absolute smorgasbord, and we should not complain about the blessings of having a lot to read. But y'all, I'm going to complain a little bit because discoverability, getting my myself out there so that readers who are interested in my work can find it, as with all of us, it's gotten to be more of a challenge, just a little bit. So the issue with transmigrated Terry right now is I'm still getting a grip on the main character, Terry. And so I've took a step back through October, didn't get as much writing done on the story, but tried to work on her motivations and, you know, what really is she coming up against in this story? That's her own character art that contributes to her character growth, because I assure you there is character growth there. And did I just, yeah, I just kind of went dark there for a second. But I know where I want her to go. It's a question of what's going to trip her up on her way to getting there. And I am a discovery writer. I write into the story. I write because I'm curious about where the story will go, not because I know where the story will go. And that's true of my characters as well. I'm not really sure who my characters are until I've written far enough into the story that I can see how they're reacting to things and what are their triggers and what it makes them happy and what makes them scared. And with Terry, it's taken a little while because she's intentionally not a very likable character at first. And so I'm trying to maintain that. I love loving my characters. So making one purposefully unlikable even a little bit is tough for me. But yeah, I will do it for you, readers. I will do it for you. And also, it's a great story. So look for that at the end of November, going into December, being updated on Ream. And I'll put announcements on it, Tumblr and everything else. Which kind of leads me into the next project, my big project that I'm working on, which is my next nonfiction craft book. It's called By the Seat of Your Pants, Using Discovery Writing Techniques. And it's all about using discovery writing techniques as a pantser. And I think there's a lot of mythology around pantsing and using discovery writing. I think there's a lot of negativity about it. Some of that negativity is very valid because new writers or young and experienced writers can really get themselves in a pickle when they're using pantsing or discovery writing principles, because discovery writing really relies a lot on having a good intuition of what story craft is. So there's kind of a good thing and a bad thing. It's kind of like free association writing. You never know what you're going to get. Could be really good, could be not so good. But that said, discovery writing is not free association writing. Discovery writing is not just like writing into the void with no idea of what you're doing. And there's no real advice out there for people like me whose primary technique as a writer is discovery writing. I do use outlines. I do eventually summarize and write character sheets. But I do that later. I don't do that at the beginning before I've started. One thing I've noticed with a lot of discovery writers, pantsers, is that we are driven by that curiosity, as I was talking about earlier. We are, the whole point of writing for us is to engage with that curiosity and to find out what our who our characters are and where they're going. I've talked to so many pantsers over the years who say the same thing, which is, well, once I wrote the outline, I lost interest in the story. I knew what was going to happen. Didn't really interest me anymore. That's me. Like once I know what's going to happen in the story, why would I write about it anymore? I know what's happening. I have other friends who are primarily pantsers who do start out writing outlines, but then, you know, a third of the way through or at the halfway point at the latest, their characters take it off the rails. And you hear a lot of this about, you know, my characters took control of the story. And then you hear people say, well, they're just not good writers because they were good writers and they'd be in control of the story and their characters. Who talks like that about the characters? And I'm sorry, it's just how different brains work. Just because it's not how your brain works doesn't make it wrong. So a lot of times when pantsers talk about these things that happen to them, they get put down. They get told they're doing it wrong. You're not doing it wrong. Not even a little bit. You're doing a great job. You might not know what you're doing, but you're doing a great job. At least that was me for a long time. Until I really understood that discovery writing is a technique and that pantsing as an identity is a valid form of accepting how my creative process works and how I like to engage with the stories that I write. So this book is all about that. It's going to have exercises in it. It's going to have some explanations in it. It's going to talk about why pantsing sometimes doesn't work and why pantsing oftentimes works, but in ways we weren't expecting. Why it's not something to be scared of and why it's not something to go around talking down about. But it's going to make it very clear that it's discovery writing is just one technique among many. As I said, I eventually do use outlines. Outlining is a technique for story mastery is important. You've got to know what's happening. You've got to know the beats that you're hitting. You've got to understand the structure. It's just that some of us come into this later in the process rather than at the beginning. We have to. That's how our brains work. There's one thing I really want to stress for writers, and it's a lesson that took me so long to internalize and accept, is that just because I don't do it the way other people tell me to do it doesn't mean I'm doing it wrong. One thing about the creative process is that it is very individualized. Now, craft is very structured. Like, we know what good grammar is. We know what good sentence structure is. We know beats and... I keep hitting that. Sorry about that. My screen goes dark and I hate it and I keep forgetting about that. But we know, for people who are listening on the podcast, the screen goes dark because my monitors go on energy saving and then suddenly the video is cast into darkness. But back to the point, it's that outlining is a technique and I use it when I've understand who my characters are and where my story is going. At that point, it's very useful for me to be able to sit down and map out the structure of the story. Especially with long-running serials, it's important for discovery writers, pantsers, whatever you want to call yourself, to think about at what point do I go in and look at the structure. If you're Dean Wesley Smith, that point is never. Apparently, he's a very famous pantser, or, you know, as he likes to call it, writing into the dark. But for most of us, there's a point where we have to go and we have to say, okay, what beats am I hitting? What organic structure fits what I've written so far? And I think that's where people get tripped up. They think they have to create, like, am I going to use romancing the beats? Am I going to use the hero's journey? Am I going to use save the cat? And the answer is, the story will tell you. At least that's been my experience as a pantser. The story will tell me what beats are appropriate for it. Now, can I write to beats? I do all the time. And that's not necessarily to negate everything I just said. But I find, as a discovery writer, just writing to basic beats with no outline, no explanation, can sometimes get me through when I'm trying to write something on a deadline, or I'm trying to write something, for instance, in a series. My Dragon's Grail, which is another one that's going to be coming out in 2024. Can you believe it's 2024? I cannot. That was designed originally to be a series of novellas, and I structured a template in Scrivener to give every novella the same structure. I was using a modified Save the Cat type of structure that I found that I really liked, and so for that one, every novella was going to have that structure. Because I wanted that consistency, I needed to do that. Now, what the actual plot is, I have no idea. Kind of, you know, make it up when I get there. But I wanted that consistency for all the novellas. So I'm sticking with that for Dragon's Grail. Transmigrated Terry, not so much. I'm winging it a lot more with Transmigrated Terry. I have no idea how long the story is going to be. I don't know if there's going to be one long arc, if there's going to be multiple long arcs. Is this going to go for like 30 installments or 300 installments? I suspect it'll be longer than shorter, but again, I don't know. I'm just the writer. So, the final thing I'm going to just lightly touch on is the empty bowl. And this was something I worked on while I was at the writer's retreat. I don't want to talk a lot about it right now. It's still in the gestation, juicy process. But I did have a major breakthrough on what the theme and the approach that I was going to use. Not necessarily beat structure, but a metaphor. It really was a metaphor of how I want to move through that story. And it is a memoir. It is a memoir about the deaths of my parents. And if you're familiar with my other books, you know of Grieving Futures, Surviving the Deaths of My Parents. That is a very short memoir. It's a very cathartic one. It's a difficult read, according to everybody who's ever read it. And it is about the year to year and a half after my parents died and what I went through with their deaths and the trauma after that, the immediate aftermath. The Empty Bowl is going to be more about the bigger picture. It's going to be about the time when my parents had me. So, you know, it's kind of bookended by my birth and then their death and then the long mourning period that I've had after their deaths, because mother was diagnosed a little bit over 30 years ago in 1993, and she died she was diagnosed in late 1992, because she died in late 1994. My father died in early 1996. There was barely a year and a half difference between those two times, and I was unprepared for it. And the following 10 years were really rough for me, and it's taken me a long time to get to the point of really understanding what happened to my parents, what we were going through when they died, and the 30 years since, 25 to 30 years since, when I've had to deal with that trauma on top of the trauma of being raised by them, which was its own trauma. My parents were delightful, delightful people, brilliant and witty. My father was handsome and my mother was pretty, and they were both smart. Oh my gosh, they were so smart. They were so, so smart. But they had their demons. My father suffered PTSD and alcoholism associated with that from three wars. He did reconnaissance in World War II. He did reconnaissance spying in Korea during the Korea conflict. And then he did search and rescue during Southeast Asian conflict, or which what my father called Vietnam. And so, yeah, he had a lot there. And then, of course, my mother had mental illnesses. She had bipolar disorder. I think she eventually manifested into narcissism. I don't think she was born a narcissist, but I think she became one. Shopaholic. A lot is going on there. I'm going to touch on some of that. It's not going to be a memoir about the abuse I suffered, but it is going to be a memoir about what it's like to remember and mourn very broken people, and how I myself had to deal with being broken and how I put myself back together again. So that's what's going on with me right now. House of York, which I people are like, well, why didn't you just call your business Kimby York? And I'm like, well, House of York is me and my parents, my family, the dogs we had, the cats we had, the house we had, the family we had. That was House of York. And I've always wanted to give a nod back to the roots where I came from. And my parents were both magnificent storytellers. I can't even compare to them as an oral storyteller. They were both just fantastic. And they both loved literature, and I got everything I have from them. So that's House of York in a nutshell. My next podcast episode, I'm going to focusing a little bit more on craft, if you want to hear me talk about that. I'm not an editor. I'm not a someone who focuses a lot of time and energy on craft purposefully. I do like talking about it. But a couple of things have come up during the writer's retreat with a couple of my writing accountability and productivity clients who are all authors and fighting their own demons as they try to write. And it's not just about mindset sometimes, it's about what it means to be a writer and how we approach our craft as artists. So I'm looking forward to talking about that in the next episode. So thank you for following along, and I really appreciate everyone who listens to the podcast or tunes in on YouTube, and thank you. Thank you so much. Keely thanks you too. I think she finally went to sleep. And that's a wrap. Thanks for listening to me ramble on about writing here on the Author Alchemist podcast. I'm Kimbu York, and I hope this episode has helped clear away the cobwebs from your inspiration. You can find all of my things at houseofyork.info. All one word, House of York, no spaces, .info. Have a lovely day, and we'll talk again soon.